From Cap Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Randall White in for Beth Ruyak today. Well, 2018 has been a wild year for half-truths and falsities. We have covered many of them on this show, but there are so many more that we couldn't get to throughout the year. Fortunately, Cap Radio's collaboration with PolitiFact keeps us apprised of where the truth lies and where the lies go off the rails. Joining us today by phone is National PolitiFact editor Angie Holland. Angie, welcome to Insight.
Thanks for having me.
And joining us today is PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols, who's in studio across the table from me. Chris, good to see you.
Good to be here.
So, Angie, let's start with you. PolitiFact has released its 2018 Lie of the Year. Before we get to the statement or grouping of statements that will wear that title, how does PolitiFact go about narrowing down the candidates throughout the course of the year?
Well, at the end of the year, we look back on all of our fact checks that we've published, and we especially look at the ones that we rated either pants on fire or false. And we ask ourselves, which are the most significant, which really mattered in the political conversation? We select a field of about 10 fact checks that we've done, and then we have a discussion amongst ourselves about which one to select as the lie of the year. It's the falsehood that was most significant in 2018.
And the term lie used in the designation lie of the year is a term PolitiFact only uses once a year, and for this very occasion. The truth-o-meter runs from true on one end to pants on fire at the other. Never is the term lie used. Why is that?
We think that the word lie has a strong connotation of intention. When people say that somebody lied, they usually mean that the person knew what they were saying is wrong. And we try to confine ourselves to fact-checking, whether what they said matches up with reality. But we can't get inside their head and know if they intended to deceive or not.
And Chris, after you report your fact checks, you often hear from listeners or online readers who challenge you on not using the word lie.
I think we're seeing that more and more as journalists in general. And I think, you know, I can certainly understand that frustration. We see statements that false statements that are repeated over and over and over again. And it certainly is frustrating. I think people want a stronger word, but the way I think about it is our job is to go out and verify the facts and to lay those facts out. I hope that people are not coming to us for sort of our guesswork as to what someone intended with a statement, but more, do the facts back up what they said? So, you know, we follow the lead of PolitiFact, and we don't use that term either.
Angie, how much pushback do you get nationally for your organization's work and omitting the word lie?
We get some. People say if we use the word lie more, maybe the politicians would be more truthful. I don't really think that's true. I think that the politicians speak more truthfully when they feel like it's to their political advantage to be more truthful, or when they're held to account by voters. I don't think journalists using the word lie as opposed to misstatement or exaggeration or inaccuracy, I just don't think that that has the power that some people think it does. I think the world's a little bit more of a complicated place. Just because you call something a lie doesn't mean that everyone's going to say, oh, it's a lie, now we'll stop saying it. It doesn't work that way.
I guess some people could make the leap after hearing the designation pants on fire. Anyone who knows the jingle, it's liar, liar, pants on fire.
That's right. And I've had some interesting conversations where people have confronted me and said, you say you don't use the word lie, but you use the word pants on fire. I will say that our definition of pants on fire is that the statement is inaccurate and makes a ridiculous claim.
How long has PolitiFact been choosing the lie of the year?
This is our 10th year of choosing the lie of the year. Previous years, we've picked claims about healthcare, lies about the Ebola virus. Last year, it was that the lie that Russia had not meddled in our election when, in fact, they had. So it's been 10 years of lies of the year.
So for the 10th anniversary of it, then let's get to the 2018 lie of the year. And it has to do with the deadly mass shooting at the high school in Parkland, Florida. Angie, break it down for us.
Yes, our lie of the year was the online smears directed at the Parkland students. So this was a group of claims that tried to discredit the students in the days after the shooting, which was on February 14th. The students started speaking at candlelight vigils and rallies, and they started asking for new laws about guns to prevent school shootings from happening again. And almost at the same moment, these online smears against the students started, saying that they were crisis actors or that they weren't really from Florida or that they had organized before the shooting. It was all conspiracy theories, and it was crazy. It was factually totally inaccurate. But the lies proliferated, and we documented them for several months. They seemed to follow the Parkland students as the students organized marches, met with elected leaders, and asked for change.
So at the time that this mostly online campaign was happening, and you were documenting the individual instances, as an organization, were you saying to yourself, okay, this is an instance that could end up being the lie of the year? And how do you go about that process throughout the year?
I actually did not think about the lie of the year at the time. It was in February. I did think these conspiracy theories are crazy. And we're kind of used to seeing conspiracy theories about elected officials. Hillary Clinton has been the target of many conspiracy theories, like the Pizzagate conspiracy theory. But what startled me this year was to see it directed at young people who were victims of a terrible crime that they had had no part in. And the smears came when the students tried to enter the public square and ask the government for change, which, I mean, at its heart should be the most democratic thing possible. And yes, you can debate gun restrictions. It's certainly up for discussion. People have different opinions on it. But this wasn't about policy. These were smears just directed at these young people, the kids next door. And I think that's what gave it the significance this year.
Angie, was there a close second this year? And if there was, can you let us know what it was?
The readers poll selected something that Donald Trump said. They selected Donald Trump's claim that about the immigration caravan. Now, you probably remember he talked about this during the election. They chose the claim that Democrats were behind the immigration caravan so that they could give illegal immigrants free stuff. So that was what the readers chose. We also on our readers poll, scoring very highly, was Vladimir Putin's claim that the Russians had not meddled in the U.S. election in 2016 or ever. And that was not true.
That's National PolitiFact editor Angie Holland joining us by phone. And here in studio is PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols. So Angie just gave us the lie of the year as determined by PolitiFact. But you're here, Chris, to give us the most popular fact checks as determined by readers in California.
That's right. And really, this article is kind of a chance for us here at PolitiFact California to do a little bit of a year in review to see what our audience was interested in, sort of look at the themes. We noticed, as in past years, our fact checks on immigration were very, very popular. They were very well read. 4 of the top 10 dealt with immigration.
Makes sense in California.
Yes, a huge topic given you know, the aggressive stance in with the Trump administration towards immigration, undocumented immigration, and California's sort of unique place being a home to more immigrants and undocumented immigrants than any other state.
Did any of the ones you just mentioned have to do with the caravan the way that it did nationally, as Angie just told us?
You know, we did not get into the caravan directly, at least not with any of these most read ones. We just had one a couple weeks ago dealing with the cost of the border shutdown related to the caravan, but that was just published, did not make this list. But one that I think is pretty interesting and that we can talk about a little bit is a fact check of a statement by former Los Angeles Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa. He was running for governor at the time he made this statement. And this is back from 2017, but this fact check has remained very popular, has gained a new audience this year, and it deals with undocumented immigrants and crime rates. And he was speaking on MSNBC back in July 2017, and we have sound for that.
I think we all agree that people that commit violent crimes ought to be deported, but going after the undocumented is not a crime strategy. When you look at the fact that according to the National Academy of Sciences, and I think it was November of 2015, the undocumented immigrants commit less crimes than the native born. That's just a fact.
And you determined?
We rated that mostly true. This is a topic that our national partners, PolitiFact, and Angie's team has looked at in the past as well. And we went and sort of looked at the report he was talking about. We found that that National Academy of Sciences report does back up his statement about the idea that undocumented immigrants are less likely to commit crimes, is, you know, the way we interpreted it.
Chris, that's an important fact to bring up today. One day after, we just had the confrontational meeting between the president, vice president, future Speaker of the House, and the Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, where President Donald Trump mentioned that he would get behind shutting down the government in order to keep these criminals out of the country. And at least according to your fact check here, that doesn't add up. These aren't criminals coming over the border.
That's right. I mean, there are quite a few studies at this point that show that the foreign-born population is less likely to commit crimes than the native-born. The caveat here, the reason it's not a completely true statement with the rating, is that researchers do agree that more data is needed to get a better understanding of immigration and crime. But I think what you brought up, Randall, about this debate that our nation saw essentially in the Oval Office yesterday about border security, the wall, immigration, the budget, it keeps this topic, this highly charged topic, in the news. People want to know what the facts are when it comes to immigration. I think that undocumented immigrants and immigrants in general have been mischaracterized in some ways by some politicians, and there have been a lot of ads. We've documented the ads that have been produced by and circulated by President Trump about crimes committed by undocumented immigrants. There certainly have been crimes committed, but those ads tend to paint with a pretty broad brush. When you actually look at the facts and you look at the crime rates, they are less likely to commit crimes than the native-born population.
And we should mention the fact check you did on Villaraigosa was one of many fact checks done during the campaign for governor here in California, which I think helped inform a lot of our listeners when they eventually made it to the polls. Chris, do you have another favorite in the top 10?
Well, the other one that I wanted to talk about was the most popular fact check or article in this case, sort of an explainer article about California's legal marijuana and the laws surrounding recreational marijuana, I should say. Back about a year ago, we noticed many, many questions popping up from just the public in general about what exactly was going to be legal. If you remember, January 1st was a major milestone for the state and its cannabis industry. Essentially, we gained the ability to stores gained the ability to legally sell recreational marijuana for the first time. And the questions that came up dealt with how far you could go with this, you know, at your workplace, at your home, where you could legally smoke.
There's on the still, sidewalk, right?
Right. There's still a lot of limits based on this, the California laws under Proposition 64, which governs recreational pot. So really this article attempted to answer those questions, to say what you could and could not do, where you could smoke, could you travel with marijuana, what could your landlord do when it comes to limits at your apartment. And we're continuing to explore this topic because there's still a lot of questions. We're looking at, we've continued to get questions from readers about sort of neighbor-to-neighbor disputes. The law allows you to smoke at your home. It's one of the only places, really, you can legally do that. But, you know, neighbors are not always happy with the what they are concerned about is secondhand smoke.
Right, the drifting clouds.
Drifting over to their homes. So, and there's the rules don't always, they're not always crystal clear about who's in the right and who's not. So we're trying to get some answers for that. We'll continue to update this article and produce new ones in the new year.
So, Chris and Angie, we've discussed, what, three or four of the fact checks done through the year, but PolitiFact does many, many different fact checks throughout the year. Angie, has the pace of your work increased in recent years?
It definitely has, and I think for a couple of reasons. Number one, with President Donald Trump, we have a candidate who likes to be provocative. He likes to speak spontaneously. He doesn't seem to be concerned if he has research or evidence at his fingertips. He just kind of says what he thinks. So there's a lot more to fact check of the president. Then we have this really polarized partisanship where the intensity of the two parties competing with each other yields so many statements that need to be fact checked. And then finally, we have social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, where statements can be spread, magnified, distorted, changed. So overall, we are fact-checking at full speed these days.
Would you say that the mission of PolitiFact seems more urgent now?
It does seem more urgent, but it has essentially stayed the same. We look at facts, we do research, we consult with experts, we write up all of our findings in a transparent report so that readers can know what's accurate and what's not.
And the nice thing is all of your fact checks, if you miss them here on the radio at Cap Radio, you can find them online. And we'll tell you how to do that in just a second. National PolitiFact editor Angie Holland and PolitiFact California reporter Chris Nichols, thank you so much, both of you, for being here and the work that you do. And find the latest fact checks at PolitiFact.com, or if you want to get more specific, PolitiFact.com/California. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.